Thank you, Ed, and thank you, John Wilson, for those very gracious remarks earlier. It is said that everyone needs a reason to get up in the morning. Especially is this true of people and institutions that have reached what I prefer to call older middle age. The Philadelphia Society has now attained this milestone, and it is a fitting time for revelry and congratulation. But it should not be an occasion for too much self-congratulation, for too much of that can engender passivity and a failure mentally to get up in the morning and meet the challenges of the day. No one can predict what the future of our society will be, but we can agree, I think, on what its future ought to be. Our institution is neither a think tank nor, strictly speaking, a professional society. It has no faculty. It publishes no journals. What the society does, uniquely and ecumenically, is to foster conversation among conservatives, conversation aimed, in the words of our charter, at deepening the foundations, the intellectual foundations, of a free and ordered society. Such a function is needed now more than ever. In Orwell's novel 1984, the totalitarian party has a slogan: who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. Today, American conservatives and their opponents are engaged in a contest for control of our nation's present and future, and thus in a struggle over the interpretation of the past. We are engaged, really, in a profound clash of narratives over the history and value of our civilization. In this battle of narratives, I am reminded of a book called Remembering the Answers, published in 1970 by the Harvard sociologist Nathan Glaser. He declared that when the great tsunami of radicalism engulfed the college campuses in the 1960s, too many of the liberal professors who controlled the campuses fell silent in the face of the radicals' arguments. The liberals, he said, had forgotten the answers. American conservatives were not guilty of this intellectual collapse, but in a time when conservatives are soberly asking, as at this meeting, whether freedom or serfdom lie ahead, it behooves our society to remember its answers and to articulate them persuasively. On a lighter note, I am reminded of the 1960s vocal group, the Chad Mitchell Trio, and its satirical song, The John Birch Society, composed at the height of the Cold War. Two of its verses went like this: join the John Birch Society, there's so much to do. Have you heard they're serving vodka at the WCTU? For the younger members of this audience, the WCTU was the Women's Christian Temperance Union, a militant foe of alcoholic beverages. Members and guests of the Philadelphia Society, in all seriousness, there is so much to do. As our society then ponders its mission for the years ahead, let us remember the bracing advice of the computer scientist Alan Kay, who said, "The best way to predict the future is to invent it." Thank you.